and welcome to episode 242 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of Indigo Park, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And our time-travelling Doctor of Funk, Tony Esmond.
It's got really bad. There's only three of us this week, and that's the most lively it's been before we've pressed record for a while. We had insults of Vince aimed at me that cannot be repeated. And we also had, Dan had to run off for a last minute wee-wee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which made us laugh quite a lot.
More than it should.
Yeah, I know.
There's lots of factors going into this week's show. One, it's just the three of us, which is always good.
That's what we like. Yeah. We did suggest, when you said, when our guest couldn't make it, you said, oh, should we find a guest? I said, nah. We both all went, all of us went, nah, let's do a three-one. Yeah. Three amigos, three-wayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've got we've got another batch of guests lined up for the next few weeks as well. Yeah. So, but we probably haven't done three show for quite some time. Well, I suppose there's the True Believers and, yeah, there was a bit
might be over Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be one of the best of ones or something like that. Yeah.
So this is just your standard, everyday Awesome Comics Podcast, Comics Talk episode.
Yes.
What it's going to be about, we're just going to see as it goes.
We've got a few recommends, haven't we? We've doubled up.
We've got a couple more recommends than we normally do, because all of us have been reading some really amazing indie books. some publishers that have come onto our radar, some books that we're reading on the regular, some new discoveries. So there's lots of new titles.
And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of about at the moment, a lot of super fans. You get normal fans who just pick up a book every year, or you get super fans, don't you?
What?
Where's this going?
Maybe in relation to a video that we all watched earlier in the week that I sent you off Twitter.
Oh, well, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Don't worry, moving on.
What's that mean?
I've got it out in my hand.
That's, oh my word. That's the most diplomatic we'll be this week, because whether it's we've been travelling all over, a.k.a. Tony Esmond, or, you know, we're recovering
back in
from...
country now.
Oh, yes, I've seen the message as well. Yes.
The comic book publishers you either hate or yet to discover.
I'd be interested to see how many of our listeners, not publicly, but just give us a DM and see if you know what we're talking about.
I certainly know a couple. There's a couple messaged me about it. That's how I found it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I shit talked them. No, I haven't shit talked them. I just reported on the shit talking.
Yeah. It's interesting time in indie comics at the moment, and small press comics, and I mean, we say that all the time because the industry and it is just always on the go, whether it be conventions or publishing or new publishers, people leaving companies, etc. And we're going to get into a few topics that we touched on a little bit before we start recording. I think we'll go back to them for the actual show.
Yeah.
Before we get into that good stuff, the other good stuff we need to talk about is our wonderful sponsor, Comic House.
Oh, yes.
Hey, yes. Our lovely sponsor who have been with us now for a good couple of years, which is, God bless them for putting up with us. If you don't know Comic House, they're an indie comic marketplace with a difference on comichouse.com. All sorts of indie and small press creators have got their printed books on there. It's like another avenue to selling your books, and there's a huge selection of titles on there. So if you self-publish, you can list your book on there for free, start selling straight away. And they also, if you like your comics digitally, which more and more people do, I know pretty much most of the books, in fact, I think all the books I'm going to talk about this week, were read digitally, because I don't have a fantastic comic shop on my doorstep, which is a shame.
I used to.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to... Do we... No, right. Okay, we might... we might talk about that later. but yeah, if you read your books digitally, then Comic House has loads on there. The enormous library of digital indie comics is just getting bigger all the time. What great stuff have they got on there at the moment?
Well, I saw the message from Andy W. Clift, and he's putting on, he did Bertie Bear and the Dagger of a Thousand Souls, a miniseries he did a couple of years ago. I remember seeing it at MCM. He's going to put that on Comic House.
Good stuff. That's the sort of thing we should be putting on there, because I never, you know, it's a bit older now, you know, he might not have it in his table. It's a good idea. You might as well make a few quid out of it, mightn't you?
Exactly. People won't want to read it.
Yeah.
What better place to put it? So I've been checking out the, this is going to sound like nepotism, but the featured print indie comics for sale. I've put on Vanguard books 1, 2, and 3 on Comic House.
Nice.
Ready to go. So if you want a copy, jump on there. You also can buy The Long Road Back, Cruel Volume 3, Schism Volume 1, This Land Volume 1, Sleigh Bells, and Tales from the Udderverse, among many others.
Did you say Udderverse?
That's what I said.
Oh, blimey.
So Tales from the Udderverse. I'll read you the synopsis, it's got one.
We'd like you to.
That was fucking massive. Mother Udder Comics creators Jeff McGrath and Darren Cameron invite you to join them with 6 incredible stories of science fiction, magic, and mystery, including the worlds of M Squad X, The Deepening Beasts, and Cluster. So if that's your cup of tea, go check it out.
I'm still trying to figure out what you just said. But yeah.
They were words.
Which is the best we're going to get this week, folks.
Right. Yeah.
So. If you like this show, you'll like it, and you like indie comics, then you really do need to check out Comic House, because it's great. You know, there's a 14-day free trial for the app, so just to give you a taste of it, you could go on there and just read tons of comics. Mm. Just
getting on the ground floor.
Yeah.
So you're one of the original OG Comic House people before it becomes globally dominant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then we'll be raking in. Well, we won't be raking in anymore. But...
No, I don't rake anything.
No. You got gravel, haven't you?
I got AstroTurf. I've shown you, haven't I?
Yeah.
You rake toilet paper over your arsehole.
Bit of that.
Oh my.
Have you ever seen those people who sort of wind it all round their hands so they're wearing a glove of toilet paper before they do it? That's not very environmentally friendly, is it?
It's not.
Check out
whenever I see those people on my
just
camera.
Just check out comichouse.com.
Yeah, I hate people who wipe their arse in weird ways.
I just want to apologise to our sponsor. I tried to finish on a high.
Listened this week. I listened to the Mega City podcast.
I like Eamon's podcast. Very good.
Yeah, it's excellent. Excuse me, the chap's name escapes me, but he was Toxic. talking about Toxic. Fantastic. I love that comic.
Yeah, it brought back a load of memories for me. That for those stuff I'd forgotten about it.
Yeah, God, yeah, there's so much stuff in it. I was like, I forget that was the first time like got introduced. For me, that's the first time I came across martial law.
Right, okay.
Issue one of that was like martial law. Was it The Driver, Accident Man? God, there was tons of stuff.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a good book full of like, you know, some pretty enduring stuff in there. Yeah. There's a great martial law collected. DC put a collection out of nearly all of his stuff. I don't think the Pinhead stuff's in there. The Hellraiser stuff's in there. But it's really good. It's well worth getting. Yeah.
I think the first run come out before? I believe it did, didn't it?
Yeah, it was Epic Comics, wasn't it?
Yeah. Marvel Law story is fantastic.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I don't think he gets enough credit for that being... I don't think Garth Ennis has copied him, but I think there's a certain amount of the boys in martial law as well, isn't there?
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, similar. It's
like the corrupt superheroes who put on an image of everything's great and fine and dandy, but that behind the scenes are up to shenanigans and generally are horrible people.
And done with a different form of humour, but, you know, it's slightly bawdier and broader, isn't it, the humour in The Boys? But in martial law, there's a real deep sarcasm and satirical side to it, isn't there? Sort of.
Yeah.
Interesting. You really see that Pat does not like superheroes.
if there's one thing you take from martial law, it's that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it's a cracking series. People need to go back on that. And Kevin O'Neill is always beautiful, and he's always outstanding. There's a grotesque like sleekness to his stuff that's just incredible. You know, the fact that Kevin O'Neill was banned by DC, not for any artwork, they wouldn't allow him in their books again, not because of any artwork he did, but from his style.
Really?
Yeah, incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
There's lots of innuendo in martial law. Like,
yeah.
Not only the story, the artwork, it's all over the shop. I remember reading that when I was like middle secondary school, and I was like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's a bit racy.
Yeah. there was a great little run. That was, you know, I mean, in many ways, that little period was such an exploratory sort of 5 years. You know, Epic Comics was really good. You had Vanth Dreadstar in there and all sorts of things going on. Epic Illustrated.
I don't think you'd ever get one of those comics back on the shelf in the shops the way they used to do it.
I don't think you would. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah, the toxic scene.
Yeah, the indie scene is really the only place, I would say, that's sort of properly sort of pushing boundaries now. That's the only way you're going to get stuff like that. Because, like, the big two comics, we've spoken, like, when we have our sort of ongoing weekly discussions, like, off-air and stuff, we talk about... I'm just not reading any at the moment.
No.
Like, the big two. It's just...
Apart from the X-Men, Hickman
and all those amazing artists. It's not just Jonathan Hickman's book.
Yeah.
I think that needs to be said sometimes, that it's not.
Yeah.
And Hickman would be the first to say it, probably.
Yeah. I mean, the ongoing X-Men series is very good. Yeah. And I have to say, Marauders had an awful month. Oh my God, the art was really substandard, but it's come back again. I have to say, Marauders.
That's good.
And maybe X-Force, they're the ones. And Fallen Angels is just atrocious.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And Excalibur's just nonsense. Yeah.
That's a shame, man. I mean, another thing that the union there, Johnny, I've been speaking to Johnny Cannon this week, and he said he's got a lot of people mentioning that they're like his team, the United. And I was like, well, I've had loads of people saying this is like Vanguard, but it's like I was not the first person to come up with a UK centric superhero team.
So,
for those who don't know,
what
are we talking about?
Yeah, do you want to go down?
Oh, fuck. Paul Griss releasing a new kind of superhero story set in the UK with UK based superheroes. So, like a Scottish one, a Welsh one. It's got Captain Britain in it, Union Jack. It did. I'm not going to say that, but when I saw people like talking about it on Twitter, like Captain Britain, oh, was it like Captain Brexit? Like, where's this come from?
I know. Union Jack has been getting. I mean, I saw Paul Griss say, "This is my life now." You know, and the criticism he was getting from people who didn't know who Union Jack was.
Yeah.
You know, saying that it's some kind of sort of. How on earth is it pro Brexit?
Yeah.
How on earth is it? Oh, people are just stupid, aren't they? Yeah. I have to say that the choir may be on the nose for Welsh people, though.
Yeah.
Naming the Welsh superhero, the choir. I did think, I suppose you couldn't really call him the coal miner because those days are gone, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's the only other thing that would have been a little bit more on the nose. Like, Jesus Christ, Paul, what are you doing?
But
and why has he got
like
the green hair?
I didn't know it was like Paul Grist.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
friend of the show, Paul Chris.
Yeah. People sort of lipping off about Captain Britain. And it's like, fuck me, he's been around for ages.
Yeah, it's her now, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's like, I don't understand. It's that I've watched all the Marvel movies, aka I'm an expert in Marvel lore.
Yeah.
No, you ain't.
You're not at all. You don't know fucking 1% of it.
I know a fair bit, and I don't count myself a master of Marvel. There's so much fucking know.
Yeah,
if you don't even know that, just,
yeah,
as I say, take a seat.
me and Vince are very close to Paul Griss. We're good friends of his. Sat next to him at a convention once.
He is actually one of my favourite, like,
indie
critics.
He is,
isn't he? Yeah. The stuff of, like, Mudman and Jack Staff and stuff like that. You know, this is.
I got a page of his. I got a page of Jack Staff on my wall.
And there's beautiful artwork. And I tell you what, that name involved would make me interested in it. Because, like you say, Dan, you know, there are, you know, British superheroes, and, you know, you guys are going to get name checked all the time, aren't you? Like the indie people.
Yeah.
But there is an homage element to your work and Johnny's work anyway. It goes back.
Exactly.
You know, it goes back earlier than both you guys.
Yep.
You know, there's a history of this stuff, but nobody realises, do they? Nobody pays any attention. Everyone dogpiles on Twitter, don't they? And, like, changes the words on the little advert and, like, ugh. Yeah.
That's the world we're living in.
Yeah.
Thank God, eh?
I ran a Vanguard advert on Facebook with a video to try and get some things. I said, like, a dystopian future. And someone's like, oh, wakey, wakey, that's where Britain is now. So, please. It's just it's a piece of light entertainment.
Sometimes I disagree with Voltaire. You know, when he says, I may not agree with what you say, but I stand up for your right to be able to say it, whatever he said.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, no, I don't count stupid people.
Oh, dear.
Oh well, there you go.
That's output to bed.
Yeah. But the big two do. There's a few. Daredevil's good. There's a few in the big two that I'm enjoying. It's I read Metal Men this week, and I like Metal Men, and OMAC's in it.
When we do the sort of like the weekly covers or things like that, though, there's just nothing really that, you know, apart from, you know, hearing you guys talk about the Union and me just checking out an article just then, I thought, oh, I may try an issue.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's just nothing really.
Oh, mate, I tell you, you would like, and I'll tell you why, and it's a sort of minor recommend, but we do it during our opening ramble, is that you two will love The Plunge.
Okay.
Yeah, now, so it's honestly filled my whole ooh for Cthago, because really? It's got that feel to it. Yeah, you will definitely dig it. And it's so there's a big, I can't remember what it now, it's like a big explosion or something like that, and a man runs on the beach and is utterly surrounded by huge, like, submarine sized jellyfish, not jellyfish, octopuses type thing. Well, the things like octopuses, but they're not.
Squid.
Surrounded by them, and then there's a huge wave, and then they have to go to this atoll out in the middle of nowhere, and she hires this sort of this minor recovery company. This woman goes with them, this scientist hires them, and the captain's a bit of a character because he managed to dredge up a load of old dildos that he found that had come out of the side of a boat, and he's trying to sell everyone a dildo, and he sort of walks about holding this dildo, but it's shaping up. So they go to the island, and they go on land, and there's a sort of cruel, like a coiled up rotting body, and on it are these two sort of sea worms that start speaking to the woman. It's fucking brilliant.
What on earth is this from?
This is DC book. It's a Joe Hill book.
Really?
So you know Hill House is this series?
Yeah.
So it's Joe Hill, Stuart Immerman. Yeah, so how good is that? And Dave Stewart on colours.
Wow.
Fucking Jesus, mate. That's a combo.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing. I'm going to send you a picture of the second splash page now, so you see. But it's I haven't read any of those so far, and I've heard good things about those books, and I thought, oh, I'll give that one a go. Everyone was sort of talking about it, and absolutely blown away. Really good, man. Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Were you drawn by the name?
The Plunge. Yeah. I thought it was one of those really cold pools you get at the sauna, you know.
Ah, that looks great.
Yeah, have a look at that splash page I sent you,
Tony just sent us a splash page.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. But
honestly, the Marvel TV stuff, I kind of go for, like, when you two recommend something, or someone, there are a lot of people talking about it on the Awesome Comic group, I'll pick up a trade or something.
Yeah.
But most of the time now, kind of, I have very little interest in picking up singles.
Yeah,
I do. Oh, I still have a pull list, don't I? I'm enjoying the Metal Men. I'm enjoying some DC work. Thor's pretty good at the moment. If you know, Thor is now a Herald of Galactus.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. and it's pretty interesting where they go with it. It's Donny Cates. Donny Cates is doing it, so it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. I've actually got an Amazon wish list of books I want to get. I try not to buy them through Amazon, for obvious reasons.
Surely we all do, though, because sometimes I check that sort of wish list whenever I go to like a Comic Mart or somewhere like that, and just sort of think, right, what do I want to look for?
Savage Avengers is pretty good. I quite like that.
Is that with Conan?
Yeah, I know everyone, and I raised my eyebrows when it said that, but it's actually gone. And the new Ghost Rider's pretty good. There's a few things out there. They're okay.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so there's something for you if you want that sort of thing. But
the politics stuff on Twitter really fucking annoys me on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just is this talking about comics? Then I don't want to hear about it. Yeah.
And I suppose what we're really talking about here is something we talked about before we came on air, was the fact that Dan DiDio has been let go.
Yeah.
And
there's a few people who took the opportunity to dogpile on him. I have to say, I'm not one of them. I actually, having met him very briefly and been to quite a few of his talks in New York, I thought the geezer had an absolute joyous love for comics, and I'm a real enthusiasm, and I'm sad to see him go. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I thought it was great. I told you, years ago, I told the story about being in New York and looking at some original art and hearing two guys talking next to me wearing baseball caps. And I looked to my left, and the original art section in New York Comic Con is nowhere near as busy as the Funko section, for example. You know, you can actually breathe and walk around it, sadly. And I looked to my left, and there was Dan DiDio, looking through original art and talking to someone. And I thought, fucking hell, how good is that?
Yeah,
that's great.
Looking through House of Mystery pages and stuff like that. And I thought, well, there's a guy that loves comics. He's just come here to look at the art, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. It's a shame that he's gone. Actually, I think they, because he was a publisher, wouldn't he? Him and Jim Lee were publishers. Yeah. I've seen a few people comment on this, and I think what they need is, what comic companies need now, they need a characterful editor-in-chief. And I think they, when you think of, like, even Shooter, you got Stan Lee, Roy Thomas, all these sort of people, I think that is, it does the company good to have a sort of visible, you know, figurehead, with someone with some sort of gravitas, and, you know.
Yeah.
There's that chap at, what did you call it, wasn't there, Valiant?
Dinesh. He's got a new company starting this week, isn't he? It's,
even got that chap who's ahead of Alterna. What's the guy's name? Peter Cimetti.
Yeah, yeah. To have that character, and it worked for Stan for years, didn't it? Let's face it. It worked for Carmine Infantino for years. You know, it's worth considering, I think.
Yeah, because I mean, it's a difficult role to have, because A, you've got to be a public face. B, you have to do the job on top of it, because that's a huge job. And C, you're just going to get loads of shit all the time from people who don't know what they're talking about. Or maybe sometimes they have a point, you know, but you have to be the Kevlar vest for a lot of the stuff that's underneath you. So it is a role that, especially in modern day comics with like the social media and like, you know, the call of the void has never been louder. People just, you know, there's a reason why don't read the comments is such a true statement for anything, you know. And this is just, if you're just reading like Twitter, or if you do own all your comic stuff on Twitter, God help you if you do a YouTube channel or anything like that.
No, it's even worse, isn't it?
Yeah, it can get brutal.
You know, that's why Instagram's kind of a safe place, isn't it? At the moment,
The comments don't seem to be kind of quite like that,
and they're not that visible either, so I don't tend to look at them. I just tend to enjoy the art or the little talk from someone or the quote or something, you know.
I don't seem to be engaging on Instagram. I need to do more of that.
I've got a few people I know who that's where they message me. I think because that's where they're like, Ian Ashcroft and I chat up on there, because that's mainly where he is on there. Do you know what I mean? But not as many by a long stretch.
And there's certainly certain web comics and things like that that just have a Instagram account, and you can read web comics on Instagram. So there's lots of, you know, social media is a funny thing for comics, isn't it? You know, the Indian small press scene just wouldn't be what it is without this. It's it's a necessary evil that isn't always evil. Let's be honest. I mean, we talk about social media being an absolute tire fire.
Sometimes. It's not always, is it? Yeah, sometimes it breaks your heart, wouldn't it?
But when you get that Rosetta stuff come up, like with the drawing challenge, that's fantastic.
And the amount of times that we're just sending each other's links of like, my God, have you seen this piece of artwork? Or have you seen this book? You know, we've discovered so much through it. So, you know, you just got to, like the internet itself.
It's almost daily we do it, isn't it? To be fair. Yeah. We send something through that you think, fucking hell, look at this.
I mean, for instance, one creator who you need to follow is Brian Level.
We love Brian stuff, don't we? I'm treasuring my original Adam Strange he did for me. From years ago. He drew me a commission, and he said, "Oh, do you want this as well?" And I went, "Yeah, please."
Of course.
Then he threw another one in.
If you don't know who we're talking about, just find him on Twitter and Instagram, because astonishing stuff. There's a lot of great artists.
Quite pricey, I'm going to say, as well. I investigated getting a commission from him, and he's got an agent now, so I had to go through his agent. So I'm fairly certain it ain't Brian's fault. But the agent quoted me.
It's good, though, isn't it? Like, when you get to the point.
I'm glad that he's selling stuff, but it was way, way, way
over
much
the odds
for me, and a little bit. Yeah. I'm going to say a little bit over the odds. But I suppose if you're paying for an agent, they're going to take a slice. I heard that on 11 o'clock comics. They quoted that Sinkovich story, didn't they, this week? or last week, I think it was, where he had quoted a figure to someone for a commission, and his agent, he drew it, and he was about to send it off, and his agent caught whiff of it and said, "No, you should be charging three times that." I think he charged him $2,000, and the agent said, "No, it should be $6,000." And Sinkovich emailed the guy and said, "No, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to charge you $6,000 for this." And the guy said, "Oh, no, thanks then."
Fucking hell. So he just lost $2,000.
Well, yeah, he's.
Fucking, yeah. Agents are a strange thing in comics, aren't they? But, you know,
Oh, well.
To be fair, I can understand wanting to just like let someone take care of all that business and just tell you got to draw this for X amount of money. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Rather than all that back and forth on emails and messages trying to work out something like that. Yeah.
I mean, one day we'll all have agents and we'll be too big to talk to any of you. So, you know.
And I will as well, and I can't even draw.
Don't lie.
Oh, you. Oh, when you say agent, I thought you meant solicitor.
I'll tell you what, let's get the ball rolling. We're going to do some reviews, aren't we?
Yeah.
Are we? Do you want to go, all three of us, go in on this one?
Oh, do you want to do this, the one that we agreed on?
Yes. Yeah. Let's kick off, because the story is this. We obviously did our, you know, our weekly pull list or whatever. We picked up some comics, and as we always do, and as you lovely people probably do with your friends, you're going, oh, I picked up this, oh, you should read this, oh, you know, and there's lots of back and forth like that. And there was certainly a brilliant cover that we all were like, yeah, this is bang on. And Tony went out and purchased it. And as soon as he read it, he kept recommending it to me and Dad.
Yeah, it's only about three times. Yeah. I got it to buy it in the end.
Because I believe the entire volume was available, but there was also, this was on Comixology, it was 69p for like a first issue, which was like 98. Yeah.
Be careful what you look for, because there's a couple of different versions of this. There's a collected volume, which I think is the first three issues, which is, I think, $8.99 or something. But this is a sort of issue, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's 98 pages, and it's only 69p.
It's 98 Orphans. Pages.
Yeah. Incredible. And it's only, its original price, it's only $1.49. It's on sale, but it's... For that, it's only $1.49, which is already...
So what was it again? I talked over you when you said the title. So.
Sorry, babes. It's Orphans Volume 1, and it's called Scared Little Soldiers. Shall I read the summary?
Yeah. Sure.
After a devastating attack from distant space leaves a large portion of Earth's population in terror and ruin, a band of children are rescued from the wreckage and groomed into a unit of perfect soldiers sent to the distant hostile planet to avert another horrific attack. But not everything is as it seems. I'm going to say it's actually quite a simple story.
Yeah, agreed.
It's not overly complicated, but it's just done very well. Yeah. So shall I read the creator? So it's written by Roberto Recioni, art by Emiliano Mamacari, coloured by Lorenzo De Felici and Annalisa Leone, and covered by Massimo Carnevale. You might know Massimo Carnevale probably most famously. He did a lot of Why the Last Man covers.
Yeah.
And he did some of... was the Vikings book that Brian Wood did? Northlanders.
Yeah.
He did some of the Northlanders covers and interiors, I think, on that.
I wonder why there's two colours listed.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Yeah.
Maybe one's a flatter. They don't usually list flatters, if I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, they don't often. They do occasionally, but yeah.
On the inside cover, this was originally published in Italian.
Yeah.
Under the title Orfani, or Orfani, yes, Orfani, right. I think, which is in 2013.
Yeah.
It has now been English translation by Elena Ciccini and Valeria Gobato. I hope I said that right.
So it was originally published...
to the translations people all the time.
It was originally published by Bonelli, who are quite well known. I know Mauro, when I had lunch with Mauro, was telling me about Bonelli. In fact, he gave me a book from Bonelli. I've got a feeling they do sort of higher end stuff, and I've got a feeling they have a hand in Dylan Dog somewhere along the line.
Okay.
Yeah, they're quite well known. They're like sort of the Dargard of Italy, I think.
Yeah.
Being a little disrespectful to this comic, I can sort of sum up the story by lazily attributing it to other things.
Yeah. Yes.
Should I go for that?
Yeah, go on.
It basically starts off T2. The beginning bit where the apocalypse happens, and then moves to what's the one with the kids on the island? It's escape my fucking
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies, and then moves to Starship Troopers.
Yep. To me, also at the start, it's got a touch of that the way Stephen King writes groups of kids, like It or something.
Yeah.
Or Dreamcatcher or something like that.
Yeah, the group dynamic to the kids, and when you see all their kind of personalities, how they bounce off one another.
Yeah, there's like a bully guy, there's a brave guy, there's a quiet girl, there's, you know, it's that sort of little dynamic. But I think what they do is they invest you in the characters for the first half of the book. The first 50, 60 pages are those kids.
Yeah, it does literally start off with essentially well, not a global apocalypse, but an apocalyptic event happens.
Looks like Europe, most of Europe.
Yeah, most of Europe.
Yeah.
And certainly the kids that they're concentrating on, they're all Spanish, aren't they, I believe?
Apart from one who was... Was she American living in
American,
Spain?
American, her family were visiting. And these are all kids, you know, they managed to survive the wreckage of, like, this hideous event, and they are all literally orphans, you know?
Yeah.
And they've basically been brought up, you know, there's, of course, like, not a government agent, but, you know, these people come in and just sort of say these people are perfect to train up into and become...
Because they're orphans, that's what they're saying. Because they've got no responsibilities, then there's no one to complain, and they're not being looked after. Yeah. They can be trained like whipped into shape without anyone giving them a go. And there's a number of little conspiracy theories for me, and I'm gonna give you two in a second. I just want to see what you think of them.
Okay. But the fact they survived on their own, haven't they? Like through these.
Yeah, so they're survivors, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. But the people who train them, you've got the woman with the sort of weird electronic eye patch who's a bit saucy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got the sort of old haggard general character as well.
He's a Japanese sort of general, isn't he?
Yeah, they're great characters. I like them. And they obviously get it on, obviously. Yeah,
because when she says, "Oh, they've just post-coital," and then she's having a fag, and he's sitting there reading reports. She says, "I must say, Colonel, your reputation is well deserved," and he says, "Yours too. You really are a mean bitch."
But it's completely in context.
They got a love-hate relationship going on.
Yeah. And she is. She's played like that, you know, sort of attractive. Yeah. But yeah, she's like Amanda Waller if she was a sort of leggy redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those, we have to treat them like absolute bastards, otherwise they won't be the things that we need them to be, kind of thing.
The two characters, the female, the doctor, she's a bit more hard-edged than the colonel. The colonel, even though like, he's the military dude, he seems to have a bit more kind of misgivings about it.
I did notice as later in the book, though, as time passes, and without spoiling anything, that dynamic was slightly different.
Yeah, it does change, doesn't it? But then again, you get a 10-year jump, don't you?
You get a 10-year jump.
Or something. Right, can I run my two conspiracies?
Go for it,
Right, okay, my first one is, so the kids are, they basically get taken to a camp and you think they're safe, and then a helicopter takes them out to the middle of nowhere and they have to sort of survive on their own, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so they're wandering across the sort of wilderness. It looks like, I don't know where it's meant to be, but it could be Alaska or somewhere like that, can't they? And a giant sort of, talk about Sinikovich, it was a kind of demon bear arrives, doesn't it? And they run away, and the leader of the group says, "No, I'll let you get away. I'll save you. I'll fight it." Now, my first theory: you don't see him die.
He's not dead. I bet you he's not dead. Yeah.
So that's my first theory. So he'll be one in three.
Importantly, he's one of the characters that he is related to one of the other.
He has his sister.
Yeah,
so something's happening there. My other theory is, okay, so they go to the... So fast forward into the future, into the second half of the book, and there's a load of soldiers who are not the orphans. They're sort of grunt soldiers, aren't they?
Yeah.
They get dropped off by what is perhaps the biggest imitation ever of Starship Troopers. Yeah. It's so homage.
I mean, it gave me such a Starship Troopers vibe when all these grunts were dropped onto this planet. You know, the classic sort of drop onto a planet and then get
aliens too, kind of thing.
Absolutely mullered. It was brilliant.
And so they're sort of wandering around, seeing what's going on, reading all the sort of, you know, detector readings and all this sort of thing. And suddenly out of the smoke comes what is a cross between the Hulk and the Visible Man. So they're like almost like see-through brutish creatures, and you can see their sort of skeleton through.
Yeah.
And there's ones of different sizes, so there's a couple of giant ones, aren't
they're
there?
Almost like bears as well, aren't they? They've got like
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they really are. And that is also reminiscent of the bear attack, isn't it? There's an analogy there they make. But we're the villains again. Like Starship Troopers, we're the villains, and I'll tell you why.
Good,
they shoot first. The humans shoot first.
Yes, they do. I did notice that. Yeah.
They're my two conspiracy theories for what's going to come. They're going to twist on us, and we're going to realise that we are the villains in this situation.
Yeah,
I think, and maybe the orphans are going to have to step up because they are the ones who are disconnected from society somehow.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because when all these grunts and stuff are pretty much, they're the ones who fire first and get mullered. The orphans, you don't see their face. I mean, basically, this badass team of, you know, you got a sniper, you got a, like, someone who's essentially a tank, you got a pilot. It is just. Looking at them, I just thought I loved every single one of them, and I didn't even know which
I mean, you knew that they were the same kids when they arrived, but you were never certain. They remind me a bit of, do you remember Valiant's Armour Marines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look a bit like that. They've got a touch of that about them, I think.
Yeah. And they've got the nicknames Brat and
Boy Scout.
Boy Scout and things like that. Yeah. Brilliant.
Because the last you see them, they're walking back into the base where they've made it, and you don't know which one's become which. Obviously, apart from the lead, there's one like lead lad.
There's a narrator, isn't there, that basically runs through the whole book, who you think is the child, I think.
One thing I clocked, six of them walk into the base, and there's five of them at the end.
Okay.
So, does one get taken out in the training, or are they yet to appear, or
you mean the kids? So six
the kids
there's six of them
that walk back from the making it back from
and
the wilderness.
If you look at the cover though, you do see five, and then there's a young man standing in the front as well,
so. Isn't that the one
interesting?
I'm not sure there's only one design I don't like, and that's the one where he's got like the piece of cloth on the face.
Yeah, like the sort of Gambit-esque kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not Gambit. Who's the guy from Wildfire?
Grifter.
Wildstorm. Grifter, yeah. He has a bit of Grifter.
If you're wearing like full body armor, I don't see the point of having a little bit of material hanging off the front of your face.
But you know, you say like soldiers always like to add a little bit of flair, don't they, to some of them?
Yeah.
I'm not talking like badges and things like that.
But honestly, this is so worth picking up. It's so polished and well done.
Yeah, it's just straightforward storytelling. Action, adventure, storytelling with a big dose of character in it for me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comics I read nowadays and I think, oh, fucking hell, how much longer have I got this? Yeah. This one just blasted through it.
Yeah.
This is one that, obviously it's a European book, and we've talked about many European books on this show, but a lot of the times when we talk about these European books, they definitely have a European flavour that, you know, maybe not necessarily your taste. But this, even though it's European in all its creation, it has such a sort of an American kind of feel to it, Western sci-fi kind of feel. It was so easy to pick up. And plus,
great pages, great detail on the pages.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that I would distance it from certain American comics is the amount of detail and art on each of these pages. They're incredible.
Yeah.
I'd love to see this in an album, you know.
Yep, and I will say it's the sort of story that a lot of people have tried to do and failed and don't do as well. This is one of the best examples of this kind of story that I've ever seen. So I'm interested to see. I'm on board now. I'm interested to see
where this goes.
How big? I mean, you said that the collection was $8.99, wasn't it? How many?
I think it's like three or four of these. I mean, you can buy it now and see what the rest of the story is, but I think they're releasing it in chunks like this 98-pager. I think the next one's coming soon. So for those that don't know, it's Magnetic Press. Now, Magnetic Press, as I understand it, guys, didn't they drop all their books in one go?
Yes, this is this was a Comixology thing this week that we noticed. There was a couple of publishers I noticed did this because I did a post? Yeah, when I posted up about the comics, I did say Comixology browse this week was pretty intimidating.
It was
huge, and it was huge because there were a lot of publishers that were mass releasing a lot of titles. Magnetic Press were one of them. I've forgotten the name of some of the others. Damn it, I picked up some books actually from them. But yeah, there was lots of titles just... I mean, it was a smorgasbord of just absolute fucking wondrous comics. So, you know, unfortunately, I couldn't buy them all. Do you know what I mean?
I have to say, I spent a few quid on that company this week.
Nice. And I certainly... Yeah. I pushed the boat out myself on a Magnetic Press digital book. which I don't normally do. I mean, we've talked before on this show about, like, when it comes to digital books, I'll draw the line at £2.50, £3 maybe, that sort of thing, depending on how much of a book you're going to have. I think the one other time I broke the boundary was, I think I paid $7.99 for Sarah from TKO at that time.
Okay.
That's... Anyone that's read that will tell you that that's money well spent.
Yeah. I think I've triple dipped on that book now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I bought the single issues in the box set. You know, I bought the trade and I bought the digital. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, so amazing, that book.
So just to encourage anyone else to read this book, because I do think it's good. It's simply told, but it's good. Yeah. Here's what happened. So I read it immediately whilst reading it. I posted something, one of the pages to you guys,
yeah,
you know, on a WhatsApp message. And then I bothered you for days saying, have you read it yet? And then I said, why don't we do a three-way, which obviously perked up Dan's ears, obviously.
Yeah. Straight in there.
And I said, come on, boys. And Vince, you said, and then the next message I got was a couple of hours later from you, Vince, saying, fuck me. And then, and literally, I drove home from Birmingham, and on the way, I got a message from Dan saying, fucking hell.
Yeah.
69p well spent, guys.
Yeah, I mean, Tony did say, it's quite a quick read. Now, when Tony said that before, he's been lying. I mean, Tony reads incredibly fast. I mean, essentially like Johnny Five from Short Circuit, that's how Tony Esmond reads. And so I was thinking, is it going to be a quick read? And I mean, there's not 8 pages. There's lots to get stuck into, but you will. I sat down and I just finished it. I just, from page one to...
Hammered through it.
Yeah, just absolutely hammered through it. It was just a joy. Yeah, just some good science fiction action comics. Which will probably, I can see that the story will deepen, and a lot of it, we will get a lot of politics and stuff. I'm so
tempted to buy the collected now. Mm. You know what I mean? It's sort of, I think, I might just fuck it. It's whatever it is, $8.99, $6.99. Yeah. I might just do it rather than wait.
I mean, I want to know, Magnetic Press, what are they doing in terms of, I'm certainly going to chase them up and see if we can get them on the show now. But, you know, in terms of sort of printed copies and things like
that. Yeah, you can get them. You've been able to get them for a while. In fact, the one I'm about to mention has been available, and I think it's been available so long that the first volume isn't now available. You have to sort of back order it, you know.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Nice. So, yeah. I know Magnetic Press are, you know, I mean, if you just go to the website magnetic-press.com, you'll just see, I mean, they're an Eisner nominated sort of, or have they won one? I think they might have won one.
Right.
Yeah, they're a company that's been around for a while, and they've been absolutely sort of putting out brilliant titles. So, but for me, it's a discovery, and we're all about the discoveries on this show.
Yeah, it really are, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just interject with this other one from Magnetic Press quickly? I wasn't going to do this as a recommend, but I just think it's so good. And it's the other one that I sent you images of this week, which is Infinity 8, Volume 1, Love and Mummies. Yeah. So...
I've bought that. Yeah, I haven't read it yet.
That's,
but
that's on sale as well. $2.99 for what's normally $5.49, and it is how many pages? 100 pages. So it's not bad. So volume one, the city-sized deep space cruise ship Infinity 8 stops halfway en route between the Milky Way and Andromeda, blocked by a massive field of debris containing wreckage and artifacts from countless planets, cultures, and possibly dimensions. The captain of the ship calls upon 8 of the ship's top security to investigate the anomaly, each one sent out in a parallel time loop to collect information which can then be assembled to hopefully discover the truth about the disaster. Each time loop lasts only 8 hours, at which point things snap back to the way they were before they started, leaving the agents with no memory of their time in that window. Can the 8 agents solve the mystery without making things worse? Danger reveals itself within the interspecies population of the ship, some of whom may know more than they lead on with. So the first volume the secure agent is a brassy lady called Yoko Karen Ais, and she's sent out on the case. It makes it sound all very serious and very sort of highbrow sci-fi, but it's not. It's written by Lewis Trondheim and Zepp, and it's got art by Dominique Bertal on this one. I think the art changes per volume. I've read the first 3 now. And so she's a sort of sexy, rather large-breasted, white blonde-haired security agent who basically spends most of the volume trying to find people to have sex with. So, because there's so many aliens on this ship, she holds up a sort of, like, it looks like a little mobile phone thing, and she reads their DNA and stuff and tries to figure out whether they'll be good to have sex with and whether they'll provide her with a child, which gives her 6 months off work. it's quite dark like that.
Yeah.
And then she goes out to explore the field of debris outside and discovers its symbols or dead things that are surrounding the ship. And she's quickly followed out by a race of aliens who's opened their mouths and tentacles come out. And these aliens feed on dead things, so they're feeding on all the dead debris in the... But every time they feed on something, it gives them something to do with what the body was feeling previously. And one of the aliens eats something which was obviously feeling aroused before it died. So all he's got is he just wants to have sex and fall in love with this security agent who he sort of follows around. and it's really action-packed. The artwork is just incredible. I've not seen Dominique's work before, but absolutely beautiful stuff. And, like, really, really on the edge, sarcastic, satirical, just dangerous, just really clever stuff. Yeah, really good. And I'd heard a few people speak about it, Infinity 8, and obviously I met Trondheim a couple of times. I met him in Ongolem recently, and I keep meaning to read this book. And it's just sort of very sort of anti-establishment sort of...
Well, I wonder why you like it.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But it's just like... It's just... She's just fucking rude to everyone.
It's Tony Esmond the comic.
Yeah. So you can... Because the sort of... The time stream resets itself during the 8 volumes, you don't have to read it in any order. You can pick up each volume. Tells a sort of a version of what happens when this agent leaves the ship or doesn't leave the ship to investigate the field outside, that's causing them trouble. It's a really clever idea. And the captain of the ship is this sort of huge creature that lives in a big liquid bubble above the deck, looking down on everything that's happened. Very, very beautifully designed. A little bit Metal Hurlant. It's got a bit of that about it, obviously, because it's written by Trondheim, but it's got a little bit of that sort of strangeness to it, very good.
Nice.
Yeah. And well, on sale.
So you can buy
both them for like £3.60.
That's there great.
Well, yeah. shall I follow those out? We might as well just get stuck.
Are you going to do another magnetic press, aren't you?
Yeah.
You
go for it.
Yeah. Let's finish off the magnetic press love fest.
Yeah.
You sent pictures again with the group. Pictures.
Oh, this one. Yeah. I know.
Now, this was a title that I know was out a few years 8 years ago, and it's been on my radar. I wasn't quite sure, how to get hold of it. It's one of those things that it's always on your wish list, but then goes to the back of your mind, and then you just think, oh, if I ever see that one day, I'll...
Is that because it got released as a physical comic before they dropped it on Comixology? Is that what you've seen it, or had you seen it as the French version?
I think it was the French version. I think
okay.
Yeah, but without seeing like pages and stuff, I just thought this looks beautiful. But I thought, oh, maybe it's French, so I won't be able to read it. This was a couple of years ago, so I probably foolishly thought I won't be able to read it, not knowing that this is essentially a silent book, as it were. There are no words. And this is from Magnetic Press. I got it on digital for $5.49. It was $5.99, so I saved a whopping 8%.
You know a bargain when you see one.
I love a bargain, man. But no, and it is one of a set of four, and the other three I'm desperate to get now. But I might, as you say, Tony, if these are available in print, I'm just going to snatch all these up now. This is a series called Love, and the book I picked up was Love the Tiger. And the synopsis is, it's a day in the life of the king of the jungle. This lavishly illustrated story follows a single majestic tiger through a wordless adventure of survival as it hunts prey and defends itself from other would-be killers defending their territory.
One of these is a dinosaur.
Yep. There is four. Love the Lion, there's Love the Dinosaur, and there's Love the Fox. All, I think, are written by Frederic Brumode, and art by Federico Bertolucci. If I murdered those names, but what a stunning book this is! One absolute. This blew my mind, like literally out the back of my head. It was another one of those. A couple of pages in, shit! I've got to get the printed copy, haven't I?
Yeah.
There's no narration or dialogue, and it's like watching like an episode of Blue Planet, it's sequential and it feels animated in its style of artwork, and it's beautiful. I don't want to say what I mean. This is all sort of pencils, watercolors, I can't imagine this is done digitally. There's such a natural sort of line to it. It is like following a day in the life of this tiger as they're wandering through this jungle. I'm not sure what the animal is. It starts off with an animal.
Is it a tapir?
Yeah, that's it. It's sort of grazing at the beginning, and you see this tiger sort of stalking it, and you think, oh, we're going to get the tiger's going to kill it straight away. That doesn't happen.
Fucking hell, the use of light in that page, man.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah,
gorgeous.
What's on the WhatsApp?
I think you sent through the cover, didn't you, V?
I sent through the cover and a couple of the pages, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like the sun shining through the canopy of the forest in little strands of light that hit the tape here at this sort of... He's like at a drinking pool. It's just fucking beautiful. Right, really.
But the actual taper itself has a real... There's almost like a... I mean,
there's a cartoon personality to it.
Yeah, the shortcut is the Disney animated sort of style.
It's not overly done. It's not like, oh, look at the funny tape here.
It's the way that the taper just sort of looks behind it. You know, it knows that something's there. And spoilers, the tiger doesn't catch it at the beginning, but then the tiger is stalking it for quite some time, and it's all the other things that happen to it. You get to a point where you think, this poor fucking tiger... you know, because it's hunting for its prey, but it's just bumping into, you know, it bumps into an elephant. There's two panthers. I mean, the cover has a tiger fighting a panther, and you see that scene sort of play out. And there's some other moments. And well, as it's doing it, it's just getting tired. It's getting wounded. I mean, a tiger meeting an elephant, how good do you think that's going to go? but it's just... You just follow it. I did read this with the guided view, and it is, every panel is a beautiful work of art. But when they stop to, I mean, it's almost like, okay, I want to draw one of the most amazing landscapes you've ever seen. All right, you can have a splash page for it. And there, I mean, I was sending the guys some pages going, fucking look at this. There's one page in particular, which is the tiger sort of on top of this, almost like a, not a mountain, but it's like a cliff top, isn't it? And you can just see the canopy of all the forests and stuff, and the way the light comes through the clouds, and is just absolutely stunning. You know, I think narratively completely works. You never lost with any of it. You know, who doesn't like a David Attenborough documentary?
Yeah.
And this is, and those always have a drama. The way they film those and edit those, there's the drama, isn't there, going through. This is basically a book that's essentially like it's 74 pages, so you're getting a good story as well. And there is a sting in its tail. You do see when they're wild animals. There is a real sort of emphasis of, because when you watch these programs and or read these sort of books, because you're following these creatures, you sort of think, you know, you feel for them. You have like a human connection to this creature, thinking, oh no, I feel so bad for them. You know, they're doing this or that or the other. And this book does a sort of there's a scene at the end where it underlines, this is a wild animal. This is, you know, never forget. The sort of like the harshness of the wild world. I always wondered why they were called Love. I thought that was quite an interesting title. And on the interior cover, there's a wonderful sort of pencil sketch picture of a tiger's face. And it just has this quote. It says, "In the animal kingdom, animals neither love nor hate each other. Love and hate are parts of a natural whole, a supreme balance many consider to be universal. Or even divine, an elemental love, a love that mankind could never experience." So I thought, ooh. and then you have that, and it just gets stuck into the story straight away. I can't recommend this enough. I think I'm going to go move on to the lion next. It just feels.
Oh,
like...
not the dinosaur. Do the dinosaur.
I think I'm going to do the. I'm going to finish with the dinosaur.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at any of the covers, they all just absolutely look stunning. Yeah. Like I said, I think the others are a little bit... Oh, no, as I look, they're all $5.49 on Comixology. I'm going to see how much...
Might as well just order the French version, dude, if there's no words.
Yeah.
Just order the physical version.
Yeah, I'm just going to get the physical versions, you know, because you'll probably get them in lovely hardcover sort of versions, won't you? So it's beautiful stuff. So thank you to Magnetic Press for bringing this back onto my radar and finally discovering something that, you know, was I wanted to check out but wasn't too sure about. So I'm glad I did. This is, I mean, I want to say, well, this is going to be on the list for one of my books of the year. I think it will be, even though it's a book that's a few years old. So,
and it's a bit early in the year to be making those wild accusations.
But we always do around this around February, March is when we're like, oh, no.
Whoa. Yeah, that's when I read In Waves last year.
So, definitely check this out. And also, if you've got, maybe if there's someone that doesn't read graphic, and we always talk about introducing people to books. And they're like, well, you know, speech bubbles, or they don't want to follow that sort of thing. This doesn't have any of that.
Is this suitable for kids, this one? Is this a kid's book, do you think, or is it too brutal?
There's a sort of element. I would say have a look through it before you give it to kids. I think you can. You know, if you're comfortable with kids watching a nature documentary, this doesn't. It's not gruesome or gory. There's nothing like that. And that, like I say, there is a Disney-esque animation sort of feel to some of the facial acting, shall we say, to the animals.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, I would say it's suitable, but you know, and it does say it's an all-ages title, but it's just exploring natural behaviour, and nature can be quite aggressive and brutal at certain points. But, yeah. So, yeah, definitely check it out. And those people that aren't quite sure about comic books, I think it's a brilliant introduction, sort of check this out, because if nothing else, they'll just look at the page and go, this is beautiful, and probably within a couple of pages they're reading it without even really noticing it. Do you know what I mean? And then you can, if you like that, why don't you try this, and then you know, drip feed them,
groom them, it's called grooming,
groom them into your van of comics. No, that's wrong.
Let's develop a race stroke van of comics. What?
Sure, there's no one would get in nowadays. So, no. Hey, kids, free comics.
Yeah, we'd end up with a few people we didn't really want in our van.
Yeah,
who smelled a bit badly at BO.
Yeah, and then the curse is we realise it's us.
Who put that T-shirt on? If you can afford a convention ticket, you can afford a deodorant, or whatever it was, a shout. Who put that on the Facebook? That did make me laugh this week.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So that's my first recommend of the week. So we've already had we're three books in already.
Yeah. Danny B, what do you want to do?
Well, I've got one I fucked up at Christmas time, and I ordered Vince a copy of Out of Darkness, a trade paperback, and he already had it, so he gave it back to me.
No, when you say it like that, Dan, that makes me sound like an ungrateful shitbag. That's not how it went down.
I know, it didn't get done that. It didn't get done like that, but...
I was like, take this back, you absolute pig. That's what I said.
Yeah, he slapped me. So I was kind of explaining this quickly before we came on. It very much reminds me of like Star Trek, the original series, where they have like the mirror universe and everyone's wearing the sash and Spock's got like, he's rocking the beard or the goatee.
Yeah.
And it's like a kind of Star Trek where everyone's a bit dark and got their own sinister agendas about moving up and what they want to do. And Vince has spoken about this extensively on the show previously. And getting into it, oh man, it's great. It's really good. So much fun.
It's so good to see other people getting into this. And I think everyone's got a concept of the Star Trek dynamic, haven't they? The ship and the crew, you know. And this takes that and runs with it, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, because in Volume 1, it's subtitled Each Other's Throats. And each member of the crew seems to have like an objective that they're trying to secure. And it's very kind of fleshy and body like the horror in it, because people get torn apart and ripped to pieces.
Yeah.
And essentially they get given a mission. It appears to be like a war going on, and they've got to go beyond the front line and then beyond that to some kind of secret objective that only the captain knows. And he's a real bastard generally to the crew. Presumably there's going to be a reason why he's driving everyone so hard and putting them under so much shit. But
he's a prick.
The spaceship is the spaceship is powered by like a huge demon that they caught, and you get invaded by like supernatural entities and ghosts, and they have teams of exorcists and stuff who go down and battle them off. And when crew members die, you've got to kind of collect their soul as it's flying off, and then like re-put it back into a new body. and keeping the body count up is like one of the captain's sort of chief objectives. But like there's kind of like Starfleet, like that, like the crew are kind of sticklers to the rules, and he doesn't really give a shit because he's been pulled back in to do this job. She didn't know what it is yet as a leader.
Yeah, but they're all backstabbers. Yeah, they don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
All
the backstabbers. There's one character really like. He appears to have been a god.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Over.
Yeah, there's because every like each issue for the first couple of issues almost focuses on an individual, so you really get a sense of like some of the crew.
He's the navigator. And I can't remember his name. He's like Elon or Eaton or something.
Yeah,
and when you get introduced to him, he talks about how he was this god on this planet, and he had all these horrible things that done for him.
Yeah.
And he gets overturned and killed, and then he gets pulled in by the ship, and he's part of their crew, and he's been for years, and he's fucked off that he doesn't like the cat, and the cat can never remember his name.
Yeah.
And then every scene after that, when there's the two of them, he gets his name on, where he goes, oh, what's your name again? And even though like he can tell he's absolutely fucked off having people saying it, he says it quite politely. Oh,
yeah,
my name's so and so.
And that's fucking brilliant because it is essentially
you know the resentment every time.
Yeah, there's this epic background to essentially like one of the guys at the front of the Starship Enterprise. You know, one of the people navigating it. You know, the ones that are in the shows are always sort of like, "Yes, sir. No, sir. We're doing this, sir."
Mm.
And they don't say anything more than that. This guy is that. And when you see the background of who he is. Like, he doesn't really raise his voice, or he doesn't say boo to a goose, is he? But we all know.
He's really polite.
Yeah.
And really, yeah.
But he hates everyone. It's brilliant.
But yeah, the whole crew and cast, they sort of, as it goes through, gets more and more fleshed out, and you try and get an idea of what's going on, what's behind it. But it's really bleak and nihilistic, and there's lots of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's well worth reading.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to payday come on Tuesday. I might get myself the second volume.
The second volume continues the brilliance. They haven't started the third volume yet on Image, so I mean I'm subscribed to it, but
on single issues. Issues.
Yeah, they haven't started the third one, but it because I know that this is John Layman. Obviously, for a lot of people, they know him for Chew. And he is currently working with the artist of Outer Darkness for a Outer Darkness Chew crossover.
How the hell is that going to work?
I don't know how that's fucking going to happen, but the artist has been showing sort of like sci-fi versions, I think, of or their take on the Chew characters on Afu Chan, who's a brilliant artist.
I never read Chew, but my son read it and he loved it.
That's got a legion of fans, isn't it? I need to check that out. Cause...
can only imagine if he died and then get taken on by one of the exorcists and put in a new body, he could be on the ship, I guess.
How is his power of being able to eat things to know about them going to be in space? Ooh. That's interesting.
Lots of interesting stuff. I mean, the thing is, it's all Layman's work, isn't it? So, you know, he's not going to fuck about with it. I think it's just going to be one of those, this is fun, enjoy it.
Absolutely rattles along. I'd recommend, if you're kind of like a Star Trek fan, you like it a bit sort of darker and nastier, I'd really recommend it.
Yeah,
I'm a Star Trek fan.
Go in for it.
And you're over the top horror as well, Tony.
Yeah.
So this would be right.
It's got lots of kind of Lovecraftian style monster stuff in it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, there's exorcisms.
I'll give that a go.
Haunted houses.
I've not got into that. I've not watched any of that Picard. I kind of got really burnt with that Discovery season 2.
Yeah, I found Discovery unwatchable, but I have to say Picard is outstanding.
Okay.
I'm absolutely loving it. It's intelligent storytelling.
Are you all caught up?
I've got one more to watch to be caught up.
I've watched the latest one.
Right, okay. Mm. I love it, man. I absolutely love it. He's a bit doddery in it, and he's
Space OAP, the series.
It is, yeah. But it's just good. It took me back. The theme music of Next Gen came on at one point in one of the episodes, and I was like, fucking hell, we're back, you know.
Yeah. I watched the Next Gen
with a budget.
Yeah,
still great.
With the mess that Discovery became, or even was to start with, it's just. It's too embarrassing and on the nose for in a lot of ways for me. This is just subtle, clever storytelling, and I think he's got a hand in the the script, isn't he? I think, as I understand it, having heard him say it, and you can, you know that they're using lines. He doesn't say engage till what, episode 4, is it? I think.
Yeah, and when he does, there's a, one of the characters brilliantly rolls their eyes. It's a self-knowing show, which I quite like.
Yeah,
yeah.
But my favourite bit is when the two Romulans, who are his housekeepers, turn out to be fucking badasses.
Yeah,
I love that scene.
Yeah,
you think, oh, he's the butler and she's the chef, or something like that. And then suddenly they just move into action, and he's got guns hidden all over his house. And I think, come on. Yeah.
One of those Romulans was one of the main characters in the criminally underwatched Into the Badlands.
Never watched that.
Oh, you got to, dude. It's just great.
It's such a shame Star Trek comics aren't any good these days. He says not having read that many, but I remember the days of Peter David. They were great. You know. Yeah.
Tie-in books are a strange beast, aren't they?
Yeah, aren't they? Yeah.
I picked up an old Terminator comic from like the 1980s.
Yeah.
And like, it's got a pit photo cover and you inside, and it's like, it's set in the future war of like the Terminator films, and it's in broad daylight, and all the Terminators walk around with mullets with leather jackets. It's like, did you not watch the films? Because it's all like robot skeletons at night shooting neon lasers. And it's like, who edited this? It's terrible.
Oh, God. It looks like something Ed Piskor would do, just take the piss.
Yeah, it's awful. Awful stuff. Okay. And moving on.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Is it me now?
Yeah. It is indeed, Tony.
Yes.
So my second one is Nothing, which is a marvellous title from Gareth A. Hopkins, our pal.
Yes.
82 pages. I have to say, I'm not actually sure. I don't think Gareth completely knows what he's going to do with it. I don't think it's out yet. He sent me a preview copy. I think it was even before it was sort of spell checked. Here you go. Have a look at this, which as he's wont to do. And I'm always a fan of his stuff. I really do enjoy it. It's another book of his trademark instinctual but abstract comic creations. It's done in two sections. The first section is a longer section, and the second section changes stylistically somewhat. He runs from the front page. It's, there's a dose more colour than some of his comics, I'm going to say, especially in the cover image. You know what you can do with Gareth's books? You can stare at things and think you know what's going on, and you're wrong. But because the abstractness is so accomplished that it leads you to see faces and shapes like staring at a cloud, you know, sometimes. But what he does is, the first section is bullet pointed with little points, little things, little occurrences that occur to people, various people, that little things during the day or little things that they think of. So the first one, Trevor notices there's a lot of roadkill today, a rat, a deer, some birds. That's it. It's typed out in a typewriter, and it's got point number one, this. Point number nine, for example, Charlie is 15 minutes early. Unsure of who he's waiting for, he looks up expectantly at everyone who walks past him. It's just that. That's just it. You know? But everything is insightful little moments in our lives that we sometimes just moment to moment forget about, you know?
Yeah.
Louis yawns after reading the word yawn. And that's some kind of meta-hypnotic, magical thing that he had going with me. And I don't mean this as a slight in his comic at all, but it made me yawn. So he's actually transmitting yawns off his page there with that one, just by reading that. The word yawn makes you yawn, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of found that just you saying that.
Yeah. It's spreading a disease amongst us, a comic disease. Yeah. He uses different kind of abstraction as the comic goes on, but it's full of those little points, full of little things that, oh, yeah, I thought that once. Or, you know, Elizabeth stares at the phone, willing for it to ring. You know, stuff like that. Just little things that are incredibly insightful, and also things that we all think of kind of often, a lot of it is, and we just forget about it. There's, when we're living in our own head for that, you know, a couple of hours on a car journey or waiting for something to happen or when we get up and make a coffee, whatever it's going to be. It's 66 points you get out of it. There's, as I say, different kind of panel layouts, and he goes through different color choices and styles, and you get indented panels, and you get cascading horizontal panels, and you get pages that don't have panels on, but you get the words sort of in white blocks on top of that image. It's nicely done. The second part is a shorter story, and it starts, I think it's called, it's hard to tell what it's called, but certainly the first words in it are "Fatigue crashes over you in waves." And it's got almost slightly more coherent images, which may just be me drawing my interpretation of what he's drawn, but have a sort of clockwork robotic quality to them. I'm not sure if this is another recreation of another comic that he's sort of using, but there's hidden ghostly images amongst it where there's some really sharp, do you remember when Glenn Fabry used to work just in black and white, some real sharpness like that. And overlaid or underlaid on it are these blue images that look like maybe it's a piece of wetted paper that's been stuck down and pulled away, and there's little tears in the paper, but you can see images amongst it. There's a little bubble and it kind of looks a bit like a sort of robot fish's head and some other things, or light shining out of something. There's a really haunting page, I think probably my favorite page of it, which is only a series of panels. A couple of them are very minimalistically drawn with a lot of white space above and around the image, but on the left hand side is what looks like kind of if a clockwork robot had its face peeled away, what you would see beneath, and there's little strands of hair, but you also see through the eye sockets and stuff like that. Really, really clever stuff. Just a lovely thing to experience, I think, with Garrison. I find his work pretty inspiring. It inspires me to work, and I'm glad that people are out there trying and working this way. So if you go to grthink.bigcartel.com, you can find his other comics. I don't think this is on here, unless it's gone on the last few days. I don't think it's on there currently, but keep an eye out for it. Or you can follow him on Twitter, where he talks about it and its creation and what he's going to do with it and how, you know. And it's at grthink on Twitter. Always good, always interesting, always worth a look. Yeah. There you go. That's my second one.
Yeah. Oh, nice one.
Now, from deep, meaningful, thoughtful comics
to dildos.
To dildos and sauce. Yes.
Dildo week, isn't it? It's a colour comic.
It really is. Yeah. That'll be the name of this week's episode.
And every episode since.
Yeah. Dildos and sauce. Taking listeners.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm talking about a book that I've talked about a couple of times, but issue 4 I picked up this week from Vault Comics, written by Tim Seeley and Sarah Beattie, art by Rebecca Isaacs, who's a thoroughly lovely person. I messaged Rebecca because I thought I was going to try and get on the show, but she said she's actually quite shy. So,
oh, okay.
But she was genuinely lovely when I spoke to her. And coloured by Kurt Michael Russell.
Nice.
Friend of the show, and brilliant sort of colouring tutorials and stuff he does. Is he still doing those, Dan?
Yes, yeah, I've paid for a course to do over Christmas, and I didn't do it, so I've still got to take that course.
Well, you still can, though, can't you? I guess you
can. Yeah, I can, but, yeah. It's still logged on the account, but, like, he's working a lot in going from doing it on the PC or the Wacom to doing it all on the iPad.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so we'll change there.
Nice. Well, he does brilliant work. Everyone does brilliant work on the series Money Shot, issue 4 of which has just come out. The synopsis, I mean, for those who don't know what Money Shot is, and we're talking about Source, it is about a group of scientists that, in order to explore space and, and sort of diversify their scientific minds, they travel the galaxy having sexual encounters with different races.
So it's basically a story about us.
Yeah, and it is all for subscribers, so they get money that way as well. But it's not a porn comic. It is a comedy comic. It's a sex comedy crossed with a sci-fi adventure, and there really is sort of element. This draws on influences from all kinds of all the sci-fi that There's even some nice visual jokes to the Princess Leia gold bikini. Which a man is wearing in this issue.
It's American Pie meets 2001.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of like that. Actually, it's more like Zack and Miri meets Star Wars. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Because this fully... This is just... I fucking love this series. I don't know if issue 4 is the first... The last issue of the first arc, I know there's a collection coming out, but I'll talk about that in a minute because there's something that the pricing is. But the synopsis of issue 4, that's the basic setup. If you've read Money Shot, you'll know where it was. What happened in the end of the last issue was a bit of a shocker, because the sci-fi adventure stuff is genuine sci-fi adventure stuff. It just happens to have comedy moments sort of in as well. But the synopsis of this one: in the afterglow of an orgasm that devastated an army, the Triple Explorers must pick up the pieces, pull up their britches, and figure out how to save a dying world. But first, the horror known only as Dweet! Ball-swinging science and romance in the mighty Money Shot tradition. I mean, that last line is like something out of an old Marvel comic, only with more balls. And this is just brilliant comedy. It wears its heart on its sleeve and a dildo somewhere else. The comic actually literally starts with someone... how do you say it? There's a panel of a house on Earth. And someone, you know, you just hear, "Honey, it's late, come to bed, just a second, I'm almost done with the laundry." And the shot is of a man's hand picking up a sock. And he's not doing laundry.
What's he doing?
He's streaming something. Yep. And he was watching the sort of Money Shot stream for his own saucy devices. But the connection to the server becomes interrupted.
Vince, what are you doing in the bathroom? Saucy devices. Don't you use up all the hot water? I'm doing some saucy devices.
That's the voice of experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, halfway through the feed is interrupted. I'm just going to tell you this thing because this fucking made me laugh, and I've showed the guys this page. Halfway through, the connection is interrupted, and he's like, "Oh fuck, what's going on?" And there's a message that says, "An electromagnetic pulse has temporarily interrupted access to our feed, a side effect of the warlord priest Dorga harnessing the Podnamegra technique to generate a force wave with a yield equivalent to 12 kilotons, which was used to devastate an encroaching rebel army. Sorry for the inconvenience." And the guy's like, "Oh, Jesus, a whole fucking army? Wow, this is getting real. I guess I have no choice. Admin, run favourite. Running favourite. Big ass stepsister on unicycle surprised by teen milf with dildo cake."
Yeah, that's a really good one.
And then it cuts back into the science fiction story. I mean, there are laughs on every page of this book.
Sarah Beatty is a pretty funny. Is it Sarah Beatty? Is that her name? Yeah. She's a pretty funny fucker, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't hold back on obviously the sexual talk, innuendo, language. There's fruity words everywhere in this book, but there's also amazing creature designs by Rebecca. I mean, there's great stuff. I mean, there's almost a gladiatorial pit. Like, a couple of the scientists are thrown into this gladiatorial pit, and they have to fight this beast, which is part killer whale, part tiger, and it's fucking huge, and it just looks amazing. And just everything is on point with this story. It rattles along. It's hilarious. You know, you've got a group of heroes. I mean, it is a teen book as well, but it's a team of scientists who like to have sex with each other.
As you do. I think any kind of professional need that to follow their title. So a team of, you know, toilet cleaners who like to have sex with each other. As long as it's got that after it, it makes the job much more attractive, doesn't it?
Oh, completely. Completely. Yeah. You know, and you know, there's a lot of skills to put on your CV as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
And
a team of DC Comics editors who like to have sex with each other.
Oh.
See, that makes them much more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah. But as well as the great creature design, there's great dialogue. I mean, the team wanted to meet this sort of ancient sort of monk from this alien race who was basically tantric.
Is your brother Lawrence?
No, thank God.
Okay, good, thank God.
But when you see him, he's like a sort of merman with the biggest ball bag you've ever seen in your life.
I wonder what you're about to say and when you said it.
And yeah, he's literally, when you first see him, he's meditating with his legs crossed and he's floating in the air, but his balls are on the ground.
That's what happens when you get older. I tell you that now. It's like a bag of pennies.
But he comes to the rescue at one point because someone's about to get properly mullered, and you just see that the dialogue says, "My penis may flap in the wind like a small and tattered sail, but the testicles of the Bokai leader swing as fiercely as ever." And he's turned, like, there's some metal plates around his testicles to make them like a pair of, like, weapons, like maces. And he's smashing a creature in the face with his ball bag. This sounds like the most ridiculous comic in the world. It is the most ridiculous comic in the world. But it's actually genuinely good, and you can genuinely follow it, and it is hilarious.
I might pick this up in trade, I think.
Yeah.
I read the first issue, but yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like issue. So you were saying about the prices, weren't you, Vic?
Yes. This has been $2.49 on Comixology each issue. Like I've said before, one of the upper tiers for the digital books. And this is issue 4. So if this finishes the arc, then naturally they'll collect 1 to 4 in a trade.
Right.
So,
just 1 to 4. That's a shame.
Issues 1 to 4. Well, I mean, there may be another issue. Maybe. There may.
Right.
Be.
Okay. Yeah.
But if it's just 4 issues, then you're working at about £10. You know. For buying the individual issues, and the actual volume 1, on the pre-order on Comixology is $12.99.
Why do they do that? What is up with people? Yeah. Why is it that the trade is meant to be cheaper than all the issues?
Yeah.
The reason that I think it might be 4 issues is because the trade is available on the 18th of March. So that's not that far away. And if issue 4 just came out, it just makes sense, doesn't it? It's just the 4 issues. So,
yeah, it's less than a month away.
Yeah. So you can buy, I mean, I'd imagine in print. I don't know. I don't know what back matter and stuff they're going to have with it. But
I'm not a series like this. If it was Gil Kane's or something like that, or a Curb Issue, I'd be interested in sketches. But for a book like this, I'm not overly fussed, man, about the back matter.
Agree. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, you get them in with the first trade, and then you can add, you know, when people become huge fans of the work, then you can add the back matter later, couldn't you? But I think if you want to experience it now, just get the individual issues, whether it be from your comic book store, because I know this is in print as well, because Vault Comics do print as well, don't they? So you'll probably be able to get some cheaper back issues, hopefully.
And I think that probably you'll find in maybe a month or so the issues even on Comixology will drop to £1.49, don't they? Image do that? Image do that as well.
I don't know if Vault do that, but it'd be interesting to see that whether on 18th of March, whether that price drops, because I know sometimes that does happen when you order something and the price drops. They actually bring the price down. So that would be another £3 on top of.
What's that all about?
Yeah, it doesn't. God knows. Doesn't make any sense, you know.
No.
What are they trying to do? Discourage people from reading them? That seems to be the Marvel are terrible with this.
Yeah.
Their trades for material that's like 50 years old. They're charging you £32.50 for a trade paperback.
I know. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That used to be the price of a big hardback.
Yeah, you know? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Some of the pricing. Yeah. I know things are more expensive now, but you know you've also got to think about just bringing people, especially with new stuff, bringing people onto these titles. You know, people need to. I mean, it's like Image. I don't. Do they do it as much anymore? You know, the first trade used to be cheaper. Do they still?
Yeah,
do that?
I don't know if they still do that. It's interesting. But then again, mate, and not banging our drum again, but you look at Nobrow prices. You know, you're paying £15 for a lovely hardback.
Yeah.
But if that was a Marvel title, that'd be like £30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our Hilda trades. Look at them. They're like £6.99.
Yeah.
Makes me mad.
And, you know, some people say, well, you know, the fans will pay for it. It doesn't always reflect in the
It doesn't always. Not always, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll pay for it as long as until they suddenly realise that they've been taken to the cleaners.
Been mugged off.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I'll keep an eye on this one to see what happens to the prize, because I think it's an interesting look.
And I know it's out of the hands of the creators. This is a company-led decision.
It's a company decision. And, like, you know, it may not even be a decision of, like, people that were, you know, even an editor of this particular book. You know, you don't know. You don't know. But keep an eye on it, because it is an absolutely fantastic series. I heartily recommend it. If you want to experience it now, all four issues
are available. Do you ever get a bit of blood in it when you're reading it at all? Or
what, in my eye?
Maybe. Here, Wayne.
Back to again. No.
Give it. Yeah. What the fuck was that from? So I need that to get a bit of blood in it.
I don't know.
I can remember reading it. So, oh, that was the most fucked up line ever.
You get a little twinge, don't you, Vince, when you're reading it? Get a little bit.
I get a little twinge when I talk to you, Tony.
Yeah, you know it.
For any guests that might be coming on, that's just a joke. I'm not.
They might want to get that for a pull quote. Gives me a chubby.
Yeah, yeah, emphasis on the pull quote.
Vince Hunt, I'm in full arousal when I'm reading this.
Sometimes even full mast. Vince Hunt.
Please don't, because people will.
I'm one day just going to create a comic so I can put fake Vince Hunt and Dan Butcher quotes on the back.
Well, this is my good. Favorite, yeah, my favourite Dan Butcher quote was used by John Tucker, wasn't it? I haven't read it yet.
And then he crossed it and said, "I've read it now."
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's why it's funny.
Hey, John's coming to LCAF.
Hey. He's going to do well there.
You guys got to come to LCAF. You know, I love that.
What is the date of LCAF? Oh, actually, should we do that in the shout outs? Yeah.
I'll look at it. Make sure I've got it in front of me.
Do we have any more? I've got another one. I know, Tony, you've got another one, haven't you?
Do yours while I look up the LCAF thing and I'll go last on my one.
Oh, right. Okay. Have you got another one, Dan?
I can give Mahoney's 3 quick shout out.
Yeah, do that one.
That was sent into our inbox and by a lovely Rich Carrington. And if you like Mahoney, you're going to get some more lovely Mahoney's goodness when issue 3 rolls around. That's kickstarting soon, I believe. So nice. Keep them peeled for that.
Yeah.
Yes. And you can read Mahoney's 1 and 2 on everyone's favourite comic app, Comic House.
Yeah. You've got an original page of art, haven't you, Dan?
I do indeed, yeah. It's fucking ace. Yeah. I'm still trying to hunt around for suitable frames for the comic art I've got.
Give it to a framer, my friend. Give it to a framer and get that special glass that doesn't make it fade.
There's no. I would have thought of all the people that you could just buy them off the shelf, but it doesn't. I searched high and low on all the on the interwebs.
There used to be some click. I remember I found an eBay that used to be able to buy some click frames that were the right size for some artwork, but they sort of disappeared again on me now.
Fuck. Yeah, it's bollocks.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so look out for more Mahoney's goodness, because it is very good indeed. Right, my next one, just a quick one, and a rediscovery of a book that I remember absolutely adoring. It's probably about a year ago, I'd imagine. And it was a straight-up horror book called Witch Creek Road. It was one of those little indie books I backed on Kickstarter. Sort of a couple of creators from abroad. I think a Canadian writer, and I think the artist is from Bosnia. It is Garth Mathams is actually the writer. He's from Canada, and Kenan Halilovic. Oh, I think I did all right then. He's the artist for the title, and basically. I had those first few issues as PDFs. I think they were doing print copies and stuff. But then you know how many books we've read on this. So it was just always there. And I think I just came across it. I had an email newsletter from Garth. And it's not one that you get all the time. It's not one of those, oh, God, why am I getting this again? I really need to...
Oh, fuck me, delete.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, well, this is quite interesting. What has he got to say? And he was talking about how the series is, you know, it's all up on Webtoons at the moment. And I thought, oh, great. You know, I had never actually checked out Webtoons.
No, I haven't either, I'm afraid.
It is a name that we have heard quite a lot.
Yeah, didn't Arena spoke about it, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they might be doing some animation type bits as well, aren't they? I think Webtoons. Mm. But I mean, this link is literally, it's a comic. It's just a web comic on there. It was from the looks of it, if you were reading it week on week, it was going up every Saturday. And on the page, it is saying that Witch Creek Road will return for season 3. They've broken it down. Essentially, the arcs are trades, if you will, but he's calling them season 1, season 2 sort of thing. And basically, it's a survival horror about love, acceptance, death, and revenge, and sexy flesh-eating demons. Yep, it has those as well. That's the synopsis. Now, the first arc was a brilliant sort of Evil Dead kind of series. Like, there's these monstrous demonic witches and a bunch of teens that are, you know, hiding away in this cabin in the forest, trying to, you know, not be killed by them. And they're failing miserably, and it was handled so well and written so brilliantly. And there are, you know, some of the designs and horrific sort of monstrous bits were just fantastic. There's one creature, a girl, kind of half of it, she gets turned into a demonic creature, which, you know, sharp teeth, but her face is, the top half of his face is basically just become eyes, lots of eyes. She's got, like, she's had other arms almost like forced into her back, so she's got like eight arms like a spider, and her, like, her innards have, like, look like they've all been chewed away. And at some point someone shoots her with a shotgun, and then when they go to try and find, look at the body, there's only the bottom half of her body. And they hear her talking and look up in the ceiling, and it's like a spider, like, it's just the top half of a human being, like, crawling along the ceiling. And it's just the most disturbing and awesome imagery ever. You know, I was just thinking, this is, it's horror done really, really well. It's not cliched in any way, shape, or form. Yes, it plays into the tropes, the story. But the dialogue and the characters are really fleshed out. You get little backstories to these characters, and then you see them. You think, oh, maybe this character's going to... Oh, no, they don't live. The deaths are quite brutal. Some of them are, you know, really surprising, which I think is quite a feat with some horror books. The artwork's brilliant. And when, at the end of the first season, shall we call it, that sort of Evil Dead story comes to an end. But it seems like it's going to, you know, where is it going to go next? And that's, I mean, I literally sat down and, you know, I finished off the first season and immediately went into the second season, which
so if it's on Webtoons, it's just a normal comic. It's not an animated thing or something.
It's not an animated thing at all. It is. It's literally broken down to, you know, they're almost like blog posts, you would say. So you see a list of it. It says episode 21, episode 22, episode 23. And when you click on these, this isn't a webcomic in a sort of like just one panel a week sort of thing. You scroll down. And every time you scroll down, it starts off. This is the way these guys have laid it out. The first thing you see is the title and the card and the credits of the book, and then it just scrolls down. So you read it like a comic. It's almost like a guided view in a sense, but one where you're just scrolling down instead.
It's what do they call it? It's an infinity something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
infinite scroll.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah,
I think these guys are creating comics. I mean, when I read the first couple of issues, they were creating comics like traditional comics. So, and they're probably doing the same with this, because I know I've seen a post where he says he'd love to, you know, have a big collection at some point. So it's interesting to see how they've probably had to take that and probably break it down into this sort of format, so you can read it downwards. Be interesting to see how they've done that. I mean, it works really well for this, actually, because it really controls the pacing of it. And the second season itself, the format, this is my first experience with Webtoons. I might try it again with another. I mean, there's so much, you're spoiled for choice with these sort of webcomic collectives, aren't you? So I think I'm not going to be a person that browses something. I'll look for, you know, a recommendation that someone will tell me, and then I'll check it out, because there's almost too much. I wouldn't know where to start with a lot of these webcomic collectives. And this is from someone who's going to try and join the masses one day. But this story is really good. I mean, back to the story, the second season is just, it's almost a different story. There's like a background theme. It's opening up the universe a bit more, and the second season is called The Skinned Man, which the story sort of focuses a bit more on the serial killer, who is a man without any skin, who's going around skinning people. If you like your horror gruesome, grim, graphic in the best kind of way. I'm not talking Avatar prep. You know, the Avatar books can go over the top, can't they? To the point.
Yeah, I think often that's kind of the point of them, isn't it? But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, oh, really? Do we need this? And that's what I always have that in the back of my mind whenever I check out a horror book. Is this going to be one of those books that goes shock for shock's sake? But this is more atmospheric horror. You do see like people without any skin, but it's, you know, it's more of a horrific sort of Hellraiser like vision rather than just for the sake of it. I absolutely love it. I'm going to finish reading the rest of this season. I think I'm up to episode 16, and there is 22. There's 20. You get about like 22 sort of chapters. They're almost like mini comics. I would say if you broke it down to a comic, they might be about 16 pages each one, so you're getting a decent chunk of comics each time. And they also do what I liked about this as well. They had epilogues for certain bits of the story after the first season. They've done the same with this season apparently. And they also had a Q&A. For people that are obviously reading, because the webcomic community, Dan, there's a lot of people who read and like interact, don't they, and they ask questions and things like that. And I thought it was quite interesting that they took a couple of weeks just to field questions from people who are reading the book, and because they say some people are a little bit confused by what's going on because there's weird, you know, we always talk about horror is sometimes best when you don't explain it, but that sometimes may confuse a little people. It's confused people a little, but yeah, but what they do with this Q&A, they ask the questions, but the artist has actually drawn illustrations to go with this. It's not just a boring just list, you know. It's a real fun Q&A actually. So I'll put the link in the show notes because I think there's a lot of backslashes to it. I think it's webtoons.com/en/horror/.
I hate that.
You know, so I'll put a link in the show notes for it. I'll obviously put a shout out to the creators as well because this is great. But there's a couple of guest illustrators for the first couple of sort of episodes of the second season, but I will say that Keenan is an amazing artist. This is a high quality, you know, book. This is something that, you know, we talk about the likes of Vault and Image and, like, you know, all these great indie, you know, Aftershock. This should be part of that. This should be one of their titles. It's that good. It's written that well.
Oh, okay.
And it's created that well. This is professional stuff. It seems to be that magic that we always talk about. They're just doing a story that they want to tell. They've just created a story. They know where it's going. They're creating a horror universe of their own. And yeah, and I'm so glad I rediscovered it. I really am. This is like one of the best horror books I've read for quite some time. So yeah, Witch Creek Road. I'll send you guys the link so you can check out the webtoon sort of interface as well. See what you make of it. But yeah, great stuff.
So the webcomic world kind of scares me because I don't understand it at all. The only ones I read are Dan's and Elizabeth Querstritz.
Yeah.
And I shall be reading Vince's. But it's such a wide landscape that I don't understand, that I don't like to put my foot into because it's too large and frightening.
There is a different, very different attitude I found with webcomic creators. Like, there was a conversation I was sort of jumping in and out of on, I think it was Friday or Saturday night, and people were talking about creating webcomics. And I was sort of saying, look, if you want to kind of get into making your own comic, I recommend starting small, because the opinion seemed to be, no, just go for it. And I was like, well, start small, find out what works for you, any technical problems, before you start going off in your great big magnum opus.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were just sort of saying, I'll just make comics and then just stop when you don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I can understand that. For me, I want to give someone the complete story. I'm like,
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not always going to be viable, but just to sort of have this goal of, I'm just going to do this and then one day I'm just going to stop. I don't know. For me, that was a bit of a strange attitude to take on.
Yeah.
The numbers for webcomics as well just boggle my flipping mind.
Yeah,
I mean, scrolling down on this webtoon, I know webtoons is quite a popular interface, I think, for a lot of people, isn't it? But I mean, at the bottom of this page, they give you the "you may also like," and the three they've given me, they look like sort of manga sort of titles, and they've basically, it's got the name, it's got the artist, it's got a little heart with a number next to it, which I guess is the amount of people that have clicked like. So, you know, likes are one of those things. I'm not really fussed about them. But looking at the number, you know, people who obviously check out the comic will click like on it, won't they?
And yeah.
Like, for instance, you've got, there's one called Unknown Caller from various artists. The likes on that are 100,991. there's one
bloody hell.
Ghost Teller, who's the creator, is QTT. The likes are 3.1 million. And there's a sort of, this must be a Sweet Home by Young Chan Huang and Kan B. Kim. The likes on that are 8.9 million.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
we could do with those numbers, couldn't we?
Yeah. But, you know, that's the, shows the power of free comics online, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you should like all our stuff. We should be in the millions.
Yeah. Click like, please. Can you click a like? My life is so much better if you click a fucking heart sign on the internet.
Well, for some people it is, though, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
I do.
There is something about it, though. If you do a piece of artwork that you really like, and then you see that other people have just said,
appreciated it,
or given a thumbs up, you're like, yeah. Or, as like we've said in the past, you spend fucking ages.
Yeah, there's an invoice. It's an inverse scientific fact that the less time you spend on it, or if it's just a picture of a lumpy dog sitting on the carpet, you're going to get more likes.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is, don't put any effort in your comics and more people are like,
yeah, fuck it. Some people don't. Look at what's out there. My dog bit my nose earlier. That's not a joke. My dog actually bit me on the nose earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
What, hard?
No, it was trying to do it hard, but I sort of pulled away and he just caught me with his teeth. Oof. He's such a bastard.
He's a sod, isn't he?
He really is. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so that's my
There's a relevance to my next one.
Yep, go for it.
Is it me now? Is it you, D? I can't remember.
No, well, I haven't got a third one, so it can't be me.
You said Mahoney's.
Yeah. So my last comic was kindly gifted to me by Thomas Stewart of the comic huffing world. and from that comic smell, go listen to their podcast Shit and Death number one, by Dirk Vershaw, who is a Berlin based creator. This is the first volume. I think he's up to number three if you go to his website, as I did. The first story is called, so there's a number of stories in it: Shit Cloud, Shy Vampire, Yellow Superplant, Lemonade Showers, Metacriticism, and Man with a Hole in His Head. Some of them are my favourites. Shit Cloud starts with a cloud making a straining noise. A big, long poo comes out of the cloud, lands. There's a man walking a dog. The big turd lands splot on the dog. The man stops whistling. He says, "What? Lulu? Lulu, are you okay?" And he lifts the lead up, and Lulu is not looking okay. Then it's later at the vet. "No, I'm sorry. She's really dead. Death by shit." That's the start of the story, and it gets worse and worse for the poor old bloke. People are throwing up on him and all sorts. Keeps going, and then it ends up, he gets a new dog, and the cloud starts by complaining, "I'm not eating at that restaurant again," before it does a poop, and the cloud's flying over again. The cloud goes, "Fuck. Why did I go back to that restaurant? Fucking peri peri chicken." Fuck. And it does quite a runny one that comes out of the cloud with a noise. Lands on the dog and the man, his new dog, and it lands on him as well. And then you see a picture of a phone ringing, and the woman picks it up. "Hello, it's Mary here. This is police. Your dad and his dog died because of a huge shit cloud." "Oh, no." And she says, "Oh, it's awesome he didn't die alone, though." And the police on the phone says, "Yes, very awesome."
Oh, dude, you have to narrate this. You've got to do an audiobook of this.
Next one's Shy Vampire. He's a sort of floaty little vampire who looks a bit like, you know, the old school horrible vampire with just the two teeth out the front and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Nosferatu kind of vampire. And he goes up to this bar, and he's Shy Vampire, and says, and there's two girls talking, two sort of party girls talking. "So I went to his place and it was like incomplete." And then he says, "Oh, excuse me." And they're going, "What do you say?" And he's looking up at them all nervous now, and he sort of very quietly goes, could I bite your neck, please? And I go, no, fuck off, creep. And he says, sorry, and he flies off. And that's kind of the point of Shy Vampire. That's kind of how the story goes. It's pretty good. My other favourite one is Man with Hole in Head. There's a man, and he's going home to meet his family. He says, oh, I'm going home, my family, I'm very happy. And he slides on a banana peel, and he breaks a hole in his head. So it's just blood is just streaming out like a fountain out of his head. And he's sort of running about and says, no, I must go and see a doctor. And he sits in the doctor's surgery just with this fountain of blood all over the floor. And the doctor says, next, please. He says, what seems to be the problem? All the while he's being sprayed in the face by the blood from this man's head. And he says, I fell down, my head hurts. And he says, well, let's have a look, shall we? But he can't really see because he's covered in blood. And it just goes on and on and on. So he gets sent home by the doctor, even though blood's still pouring, constantly pouring. His daughter says, daddy, daddy. And he goes, hello, sweetie. And she runs into him and gets blood all over her face. And he says, hello, darling. And she goes, what happened to your hat? She's spraying blood. As he turns around to look at something, sprays blood in that direction. Sprays blood on his dinner. Sprays blood on the TV. Then him and his missus decide to get it on. And he's having sex and he's doing the noises. And she's going, oh, baby. And all the while he's spraying blood in her face.
This has a real... This sounds like, you know, you've got Monty Python, Reeves and Mortimer, Fast Show. This has just got that written all over it.
It's properly mental, and it really did cheer me up. He's got three of them out there, but it reminds me a bit, I suppose, of someone like Todd Oliver is about the nearest thing I could think of.
Yeah.
It's very sort of basic cartooning, very sort of undergroundy. It's that size somewhere between an American size comic and 2008D, halfway between the two sizes, full colour. The Shit and Death cover number one has got a scientist with a huge brain who appears later in the comic, and he's trying to suck the brains out of someone else. It's just non-stop madness, like Todd's work. It's just like crazy. It just don't make no sense.
I love Todd's work with that. Is it Carl, the character?
Yeah. Fuck. Is it Fuck Off Carl? Is that the one? Is
fuck,
it keeps saying
for
it?
Fuck's sake, Carl.
That's it. But he doesn't hold back. He takes someone as a character who takes someone's brain out, you know. It's really good stuff. It's cleverly told. It's done with a sense of humour. You can see a load of mates hanging about together just getting pissed and writing this stuff. I should certainly be investing in volumes 2 and 3 because it just made me chuckle on the train. Shit and Death, Dirk Vershaw. I'll send you the link now, V, so you can put it in the notes.
Nice. So there you go. Nice. What an amazing bunch of comics we've had this week. So much so that we didn't do any shout outs. So we want to do a quick
I've got a few.
Yeah, go on.
So we're talking about LCAF. LCAF have announced their people tabling. They've sent the emails out, and it is 3rd to the 5th of July at the Round Chapel in Hackney. Go to lcaf.co.uk and you can see more of the details. Please go and sign up for the sparkmag.co.uk. Issue 2 is out in the wild. You get issue 1 as well. I think if you sign up on various levels to subscribe to the magazine, you get quite a few freebies sent through. Number one of which is a Monster Spotters Club badge, which we now have. Vince, how exciting!
Hey,
is
nice.
That? Yeah, very exciting. We're now a badge, my friend. How exciting! We got big plans for Monster Spotters Club. It's looking good. I've just sent you the next script. I've got another one to send you this week. So having real fun with it. And the little surprise is the cover for issue 3 is being done by Mr. Butcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who is now in issue 3. I can't wait to see that. It's looking good, man.
The strip's launching in issue 3. Can't wait to see the people's reaction to it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I think they're going to love it. They really are. Tony Osmond is a movie star. My new comic with Cliff Cumber. The interior art is finished as I speak. About an hour ago, Cliff said, I'm done with the interior art. It's got work on the cover. So watch this space for that coming out in the next couple of months. We're just going to stick it out. We're not going to kickstart it or anything. Speaking of Kickstarters, Atomic Hercules has probably got a matter of hours to go now if you're listening to this on the Monday. But we've got a little extra two-pager that we're doing, and Falpy is busy drawing me in a pair of Crocs, which he found very amusing.
Oh, God.
They're my shout-outs, guys. You got any?
I can't wait for both of those comics.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's gonna be awesome.
I've got a shout-out coming up. Monday, March, is going to be El Marvo 2 launched out on Kickstarter.
What date did you say?
Second of March on a Monday.
Cool. Okay, so good.
So I'm doing the art for El Marvo 2.
You're almost finished, aren't you?
I'm a fair way along in it.
Yeah.
I've got my little flat plan that I work to, and I'm a fair way along. I've done virtually nothing this weekend, so I feel like shite, but it's good to kind of, so when the Kickstarter goes live and by the time it finishes, I should have done at least two thirds of
it. Do you know what, Dan? Give it a rest. Don't say, I haven't done anything because I feel like shite. You put so many people to shame with the amount of work you do, so I don't ever want to hear you complain about you not being productive.
And you are also a sexual Tyrannosaurus as well, which we all know. Yeah.
Guilty.
yeah, that as well.
So yeah, I've been kind of working this pretty much this entire comic I've drawn and coloured in on the iPad and Procreate. So not nice. Strictly a bit, but a lot of it. So enjoy.
It's looking amazing.
Thank you.
I just want to give another shout out to Tom Stewart because I got a little. I know we all got little parcels of goodies.
Yeah.
From him, and I got one. I haven't mentioned it on the show yet, but he gave me a great bunch of goodies. Which I've been.
I think I mentioned it. Mine was jammed full of Commando goodies, which is brilliant.
I got some of that as well. So.
And some Colin Bell stuff, and it's fantastic.
He knows we love him.
Yeah,
of course we do. Yeah.
Yeah, and we love you people for listening to this drivel every week. No, it was a fun one this week, and
you've got to check out some of those stuff we recommended. Yeah, you really do.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably put a post out with some of the cover artwork of all the different... We talked about so many amazing books this week. And a diverse range of books as well. So, fantastic stuff. So, you really do need to check it out. Much like we need to check out the work that you want us to check out as well. So, if you've got any sort of recommendations or shows, conventions, or anything you want us to look into or give a shout out to on the show, you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. If you follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we'll be announcing future guests and probably doing I think the next time we'll do a 3 Migos, we might do a Q&A or something like that. We'll see. Episode 250 is fast approaching, so we don't know what we're gonna do yet. We might just sit around and have a pot noodle and a bit of a chat.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. But whatever it is, you'll find out on our Twitter page. As well as if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, where we post up the latest episodes. And we also post them on the community thread, Awesome Comics Talk, which you can keep the discussion going, whatever you heard us talk about.
I didn't launch my fucking contest, the thing, which I will do this week.
You've got enough to it. You're the world's busiest man.
Not really. But
look, I'm your agent, Dan. Okay. So don't charge like $2,000 for that. Charge $6,000. There's a callback, wasn't there? Hey?
Yeah.
Normally by this stage in the show, I have no idea what we talked about earlier in the night, but yeah. That was a rare.
Yeah, it's pretty cohesive so far.
Yeah. I know. Could go all
and we didn't have a guest.
I know.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
But we will have a guest next week, so stay tuned to find out who that is. And thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, and just helps get the word out about this show and all the comics we talk about. So we're all about discovering comics, which I know a lot of people seem to be more about these days, discovering new stuff. You know, we're terrible at the hard sell. We don't really want to. When I hear people, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I hear someone talk about it on like Twitter or whatever, part of me wants to jump on and sort of say, "Oh, hi there, I've got a podcast. Why don't you check it out?" But it just feels, it just feels icky. Do you know what I mean?
Doing that. Yeah.
But we really.
Some people are shameless, my friend. We're not.
I know. Should we do it more? Let us know.
Yeah. I quite like doing the. If someone says, "Oh, does anyone know any comic podcasts?" and I give out like a shout to that comic smell and the lakes and comics unencumbered, and then I feel like that's not too bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do the same. None of us are ever backward in retweeting those guys because we love those guys. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
And we truly appreciate all of you guys who, because we know there's a lot of people that retweet and shout out about every episode we put out, and we do truly appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. We always appreciate retweets and any kind of interaction. You're gonna talk to us about what we said or anything else. Yeah. We love all that, man. I absolutely love hearing from people.
Yeah,
yeah,
Yeah, that's what we're all about.
99% of people. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But if you listen to us on any of the other networks, such as Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
Pod Spinderella, one more time.
I'm just going to leave this silence in. I think that deserves
it. It's all right. That's, have you got another chubby on? Is that what's happening?
Hang on, hang on. Yeah.
I genuinely had to check to see if the fucking Skype hadn't cut out.
He loves doing that to me. I kind of like it. Yeah. Just go quiet.
Sorry, everyone.
Even if you, I was listening to Salt and Pepper on the way home in my car.
Were you singing along to Push It? No. I'd love to see you just bobbing your head in the car.
I do the move. Twist and Shout. They did a great version of Twist and Shout. I love singing to that one as well.
Ooh, blimey.
What's your favourite car singing song that you sing along to?
People Equal Shit by Slipknot.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. I like 2468 Motorway because you sound like a right spanner singing out on the motorway if someone pulls up next to you.
Yeah. Or Dr. Jones by Aqua.
Barbie Girl. That's another
I've told you that there's a couple of places where people have like a row in my work. And I go around singing the Russ Abbott classic Atmosphere. I love a little party with a classic Atmosphere.
For those who don't know, I don't think enough people have any concept of how huge Russ Abbott was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And Bella Enberg.
Yeah. Anyway,
seriously, look up that fucking song and then sing it when someone's had an argument.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
He was on Last of Summer Wine for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's like an elephant graveyard of English actors, isn't it?
Love Last of Summer Wine. It's like comfort
you
food.
Don't,
I put
you
it
can't
off.
Still be watching it.
No, I think it's finished now, isn't it? But it ran for like 32 years.
I know, but the last 10 years were...
Well, I'll take that back.
We did a draw-off of all the Last of the Summer Wine characters. I feel like we should do that again, but with, like, only Fools and Horses or
when did we do a draw-off? Who did that?
Last year. We started drawing all the characters from Last Summer Wine.
All right, let's... Only Fools and Horses. We'll have a draw-off. Only Fools and Horses.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Tony?
Who am I going to do? All I have to do... I can draw one now, can't I?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Who should I draw? Who's the little ratty bloke with the pork pie hat? Quite like him.
I tell you what would be good. Like, well, you know that you get those original artwork jam pieces.
Yeah, let's do like an on the buses one, the most ridiculous one. What's that one about the language school? Mind Your Language. That's the most racist.
No one's gonna know that, Tony.
But it's super racist, so it'll be
Oh yeah, so that's a good idea. Thank you for listening this week, folks.
How about this shit piss fuck film series? We could do that. Oh, what about Puppet Master? But we have them all fucking each other. I'm like an ideas machine tonight.
Yeah, ideas factory.
Yeah.
Pumping out gold. He's shitting gold.
I mean, he's like that cloud. He's like that cloud up in the sky just pumping out gold onto some poor bastard who's walking his dog.
Yeah. At least he didn't die alone. Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very awesome. Anyway, where can people find us? If you want more of this shit that we do at the end of every show, then you can follow us on Twitter for more of the same shit. Where can people find us for
said
shit?
Please put that when me and you were laughing because Dan said he had to go and have a wee. In the outtakes,
that was a real random sort of like I completely broke. I don't know why.
I don't know why. It just made me laugh when you just said you had to go for a wee.
Yeah,
and I just started coughing.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, the funniest stories normally are, aren't they?
Well, didn't you?
it's pretty. Yeah, it was up there.
Filling. Yeah.
Give me some consideration with the top 10.
I note that one down. That was a rather good
one. Yeah.
Look, for more of this quality content, where can people find us on Twitter, etc., Tony?
They're right in the thing. www.bigcartel.com. I actually have things for sale that nobody ever buys.
It's because you don't shout about it enough. Shout about it more.
Ezo, yes, E-Z-O-H-Y-Z on Twitter. Come follow me and listen to my grumpy bastard bollocks.
We should put our shop links on bloody the Podbean thing.
Yeah, we should.
They're not already on there.
I think we've got one for the awesome comics, but yeah, we need to. Yeah, send me your links and I'll put them on the page.
Oh, there we go.
Where can people find you, Dan?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Yes.
Nice.
Read it.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo. And follow me for the more of the.
We are waiting, bated breath.
Yeah.
He'll be waiting a while. Don't hold your breath.
Can I be in your comic? Can you have me as a character?
Yeah.
Just sort of wandering on. Oh, here we come, Sheriff Tony.
I need to do. I don't know about you, but it's always something I kick myself for not doing more of afterwards. I always think, why don't I just, if it comes to crowd scenes or just like people in the background, why don't I just draw people I know? Because sometimes that's a really difficult thing.
Not people
thing
you know, me and Dan. Don't worry about anyone else.
So I'm just going to draw you and Dan as all of the.
Well, Dan had me, you, and Dan being blatted in the face. Do you remember?
Yeah, we died in Vanguard.
But we did get naked and merge with each other.
Yeah. it's a reflection of the con times.
The hotel room at Troops.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, folks. Hope you had a nice time. We certainly did.
I hope you did too.
That's all we did. We just amuse ourselves each week.
And
stay tuned next week for more high quality comics talk. Thank you for listening. Go forth, read loads of comics, whether it be ones we recommend or ones that you just love. As long as you're reading comics, you're all right with us. And from Dan, Tony, and myself, have a brilliant week. And what do they do?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome. Hey!
Don't pat yourself on the back. That wasn't at the same time.
Kind of was.
Oh, dear. Anyway, bye, everyone. We love you.
Bye.
See ya.
You just went,
what? Nothing.
You go.
Nothing.
I'm on. Do you know what? I'm going to go for a quick eyelash.
Oh, we're starting.
Fucking hell.
Oh.
We're all a bit tired, or like partly ill.
Not the bladder of a child.
This could go.
Where has he gone?
This could go really badly tonight, could it? I watched the.